The bell rang. 11 o'clock, and I'd already gone 3 rounds with a heavyweight without headgear. I cut lunch. I cut French, too. Didn't cut study hall. Not much point in that. I sat next to the window and watched the wind stripping leaves off the trees. The attendance office called me down at the end of the period. I was hoping that they'd punish me by chopping off my head in the courtyard, but no. I was instructed to serve detention for cutting my morning classes. I ran into Bethany as I came out of the office. Literally. The bell had rung, the halls were packed, and I misjudged my entry into the traffic flow. We smacked into each other right in front of the glass walls. She dropped her books, and I bent down to pick them up before it registered what I was doing.
Oh, she said.
Yeah. I handed the books to her. She turned her head away.
Thanks. See ya.
They were watching. The kids who fed the rumor mill. I should have walked away right then, right there. If we had been alone, maybe I would have. But they were watching.
See ya.
I was a train wreck with a runaway mouth. Did you have a good time at the party? I called. She clutched her books tightly and walked down the hall. I followed. I mean, what was it you loved the most? Was it drinking yourself blind or throwing yourself on every guy there? She sped up, bumping into people at their lockers. How many guys did you drag upstairs, huh? My voice cracked. Bethany did a 180 in the middle of the hall and headed back the direction we came from. Leave me alone, she said loudly. It's not what you said Friday night. Leave me alone. People were openly staring, circling, taking bets. Chip Milbury peeled off a group of guys coming out of the stairwell by the office. He looked at me, at his sister, then back at me again. What's going on? Bethany ran over to him and said something under her breath. Chip glared at me. Where do you get off talking to my sister like that? Mr. Hughes stepped out of the office. The voices in the hall died down. Is there a problem here? This guy is harassing Bethany, Chip said. Mr. Hughes motioned to the crowd. Go on, everyone. That was the bell. Nothing is happening here. Move along. You three. Get to class. We'll sort this out later. I caught a glimpse of Bethany's face just then. There were tears in her eyes, real tears, because I had hurt her. I had been a jerk. I was scum. She wiped the tears away with the palm of her hand and disappeared down the hall. 50. I went to hell right after dinner. Level 29 and rapidly descending. Like most games, Tophet was a test. You had to suffer through weeks of mind-numbing boredom on the early levels to get to the real deal. I was ready. Gormley had finally stolen enough of Mammon's fortune that he could buy the protection he needed to blast through the shields of Moloch. If this kept up, I'd be battling the Lord of Darkness within days. Hannah burst into my room, shoved me off the keyboard, and opened a browser window. Hey, I said, I'm about to napalm a horde of succubus. She concentrated on typing. Shut up and watch. She hit the enter key and stood back. The browser screen went black for a second, then three small photos popped up, and above them, the word slut. What's that? I asked. Take a deep breath, Tyler. She clicked on the first photo, and it enlarged. Bethany. My Bethany. The quality of the picture was poor, but that was definitely her face. It was Bethany on a bed, wearing that little leaf skirt from her Halloween costume and a bra. That was all she was wearing. No tights, no sweatshirt, no wings. She was curled up in a ball, her hair spread out on the pillow, her eyes closed. Hannah clicked on the next photo. Almost the same pose, except the bra was missing.
Oh, God, I muttered.
Yeah, she said grimly. She clicked. I only looked for a second, but I'd never forget. It was her, and she was naked, turned on her side so that some things were covered by shadows. Her eyes were closed. A guy's hand was at the side of the shot, reaching for her butt. Who did this? I asked.
I don't know, she said.
Call Yoda. He'll figure it out. Why do you care? She asked. I thought she blew you off.
How do you know that?
Dude, she told the whole world.
I clicked on the browser window to close it.
How'd you find this?
Somebody IM me the link.
Hannah stood up. Sucks to be her.
51. Bethany did not go to school on Tuesday.
They said she did the whole team.
It didn't matter the sport. The whole team.
They said she posed.
They said there was a secret website that showed every girl at the party on that bed.
They said it was a hoax.
They said the FBI was investigating.
They said she was dead.
They said she engineered the whole thing herself to get into Playboy.
Or to get out of midterms.
They said she drank so much that she fried her brain and was on life support.
They said she left the party in an ambulance.
They said she had it coming.
They said her brother was going to kill whoever took the pictures.
He wasn't in school on Tuesday either.
I tried. I butted my way into conversations all day long, in the halls, lunch line, at the urinals. I wrote notes. I whispered during the alienation lecture in English. I was yelled at in French. In French. I told everyone that I drove Bethany home. I said she was with me all night long. I said the whole thing had to be fake. By the end of the day, they were saying that I did it.
52. They called me down first period on Wednesday.
I didn't do it. I couldn't have. Wouldn't have. No way. No how.
I kept telling myself that over and over as I walked to my doom, to Mr. Hughes' office. Every door I passed was open. Thousands of eyes watched me.
I did it, they said.
I couldn't have done it.
I wouldn't have.
But I was the one who destroyed the school.
No.
No, I didn't.
It was just some spray paint.
And I did not take her picture.
God, if I had, I wouldn't have shown it to anyone.
I'd never put it on the net.
I mean, I'd thought about her looking like that, lying like that.
But no, I did not take a picture.
And I didn't destroy the school either.
It was just spray paint.
Mr. Hughes' mouth moved, chewing through the air and the seriousness of the situation. I nodded when I was supposed to nod, and shook my head when that seemed like the right thing to do.
No. I didn't know anything about this.
No, sir. Not a thing.
I couldn't have done it, sir.
I did not hurt Bethany. I knew that. But nobody else did.
53. They said I was taken out of school in handcuffs again. But that should show you they didn't know squat. I went home, normal time, in Yoda's car. Yoda spent the whole ride home BSing me with 100 reasons why nobody thought I pornographied the girl of my dreams. The cops showed up at 8:30 that night, just as Dad was about to eat the reheated leftover takeout enchiladas. I was watching television with Mom. Hannah was the one who sprinted to answer the doorbell.
The police are here,
she said.
What? Mom asked.
I looked in the kitchen. Dad was at the table, his briefcase open on the chair next to him. He had some papers in one hand and a fork full of enchilada in the other. He dropped the fork.
Don't let them in, he said.
What's going on? Mom asked.
Dad pushed away from the table and went to the door. Everybody stay there.
Hannah sat down on the couch without looking at me.
I studied the rug. If I could tear through it with my bare hands, then rip through the wood underneath, I could squeeze through the hole in the floor, drop down to the basement, wiggle out one of the tiny basement windows, maybe, and take off before the cops even got inside.
Dad walked back in.
Hannah, go upstairs. Linda, Tyler, come with me.
We sat in the living room, the room in which no living was ever done except for dusting the piano, vacuuming the lemon-colored carpet, and entertaining people we didn't like. Police officers, for example. Officer Adams walked like his feet hurt. He was Dad's age, but he still had his hair. He was taller than Dad, but looked underfed and tired. Mr. Benson, my probation officer, was with him. The look he gave me when he walked in the door made me want to dig a hole through the floor again. Mom's smile looked like the kind you see on a mummy, when the skin has shrunk so far you can see the teeth and gums. She was having a hard time speaking.
Have a seat, gentlemen, Dad said.
Adams and Benson sat in the white stuffed chairs. Mom and Dad sat on the couch under the framed print of The Starry Night. I sat on the piano bench. Hannah was sitting on the stairs, just high enough that Mom and Dad couldn't see her. Dad opened his mouth, but Officer Adams jumped in first.
I know you folks must be nervous.
Mom squeaked. Dad put his hand on top of hers and patted it.
But, Adams continued, we're just looking for information.
That was cop speak for, we have all the information we need to send your son away to federal penitentiary for 20 years, but we'll save the taxpayers a lot of money if we can squeeze a confession out of him right here.
Of course, Dad said. We're investigating an incident that took place at a party Friday night. A young woman, apparently under the influence of alcohol and/or drugs, was stripped naked and photographed. Those pictures were then posted to the internet.
Mom tried to squeak again, but no sound came out.
That's a terrible thing, Dad said. But I failed to see any connection to our family. Tyler wasn't at any party. He's still under the curfew imposed by the judge in May.
Mr. Benson's eyes darted to me. I wondered if it would be possible to crawl into the piano and close the lid. Maybe the wires would cut me into hundreds of pieces and I would bleed out before anyone noticed.
Adams nodded.
Well, sir, we're at the beginning of this investigation, but it's clear that your son was indeed at the party, according to...
He paused to flip through the pages of his notebook.
According to seven witnesses. Your daughter, Hannah, was there too.
There was the sound of clumping feet running up the stairs, down the hall, and then a door slamming.
Ah, Dad said.
Adams turned to me.
You were at the party, right, Tyler?
I nodded.
And by that nod, you mean yes?
Yes, sir. He asked a bunch of boring questions. How did I hear about the party? Everybody knew about it. How much did I drink? One sip doesn't count. How much did I smoke? Nothing. How many people were there? Lost count. How did I get there? Walked.
You walked?
Benson interrupted.
Yes, sir.
We don't let him drive anymore, Mom explained.
Adams cleared his throat and turned the page in his notebook.
In which room did you take the photographs?
I didn't take any pictures, I said.
In which room did you have sex with Bethany Milbury?
Crap, crap, crap.
We didn't have sex.
Bethany Milbury? Dad roared. Is that who we're talking about? Christ almighty, Tyler, what were you thinking?
Please, Mr. Miller, Benson said. Sit down. Would you like a minute to compose yourself? Adams asked.
No,
barked Dad. Wisps of smoke trailed out of his nose and mouth as he sat.
Go on.
Did you go into a bedroom with Bethany?
The sound of metal doors locking.
Yes. Were you alone in the room with her?
Older inmates. Big, older inmates. With gang tattoos.
Yes. Was she drunk?
She had a beer in her hand. I got there late. I don't know how much she had to drink.
What happened when the two of you were alone in the bedroom?
I looked down. The laces of my sneakers were frayed.
We talked, mostly. I was at the party because she invited me. I thought she liked me. So we talked.
Adams was staring at me.
What kind of physical contact did you have with her?
My mother was sitting very still.
Tyler? Adams repeated.
Not much.
I cleared my throat.
She came on to me. We kissed. She wanted to do more, but I didn't. I mean, no, I did, but I didn't. Not like that. Not there. Not when she was...
Drunk? Adams asked.
Yeah. Drunk. So I blew her off, and she got mad. She said some bitchy things and took off. I didn't see her until the party ended.
I explained where I found her and how she was dressed. Mom stopped looking at me. Dad didn't.
Adams finished writing and spent a long minute reviewing his notes.
How long have you been stalking her?
What?
I looked up.
I haven't been stalking her. I was trying to protect her. The only reason I stayed was to keep an eye on her because everybody was so trashed.
If you were keeping an eye on her, Benson interrupted, then how did those pictures get taken?
Adams waved him off.
Were you responsible for a serious accident on August the 28th, during which Bethany suffered severe lacerations on the bottom of her foot, which necessitated a trip to the hospital and multiple stitches?
It was an accident.
My voice was panicked. I had no control over it.
Chip shoved me. I couldn't help it.
Did you verbally harass her in school on Monday afternoon?
Who told you that?
That's enough, Tyler, Dad said. Settle down. Benson closed his eyes and shook his head. Are you going to arrest my son? Dad asked.
Not tonight, Adam said.
But when we do, he's looking at felony charges that could include lewd behavior, forcible touching, sexual harassment, sexual misconduct, all kinds of voyeurism counts, and possibly a kidnapping charge.
Kidnapping? I couldn't even get the word out.
Okay, good job, Dad said. You've terrified him. Congratulations. We both know you can lie about anything you want right now, so let's cut to it. What evidence do you have?
We've talked to a number of students.
Evidence, Dad said slowly. His yellow dragon eyes flashed at Adams.
Aside from rumors spread by drunken morons, what makes you believe my son did anything besides break curfew?
Did Bethany accuse Tyler? Mom asked. Was she...
Adams thought for a moment before he answered.
There is no medical evidence that she has ever had intercourse. And she claims her memory of the incident is spotty. We're starting with the photographs.
It hit me. I don't have a camera, I said. How could I take her picture without a camera?
We believe the photographs were taken with a camera phone, Adams said.
Tyler doesn't have a phone, Mom said.
He doesn't? Adams asked.
We took it away when the first thing happened, Mom explained.
He could have used anyone's phone, Adams said. We're investigating the possibility of co-conspirators.